They're now accepting applications at The Landing, Roseburg's newest senior living community on Edenbauer. At The Landing, you'll see new, clean apartments and rooms to fit every need, and your rent will never be raised. A distinctive place that believes people make all the difference. Contact The Landing, a senior living community, 672-9696, 672-9696.
From the Midas of Roseburg studio, KQEN weather forecast. Today, a chance of rain, otherwise mostly cloudy and a high near 51. Then for tonight, mostly cloudy and 38 for a low. Tomorrow, sunny and 56. Wednesday, rain and 49. And Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, partly sunny and a high near 52. 48 degrees now. KQEN news time is 12:36.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Another update on the COVID-19 situation, going in-depth with County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. Dr. Bob, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
Well, a lot of things to consider this week in particular. Locally, the number of cases in the past week seems like it just spiraled through the roof.
Yes, it really did. So we've had more cases in the last few weeks than we had the entire time before. So November has been really a grim month.
What do you think is causing the rapid increase right now? Obviously, we're seeing it everywhere, but for the Douglas County cases, what are contributing factors?
Well, before November, we had no super spreader events. That is, no events that led to more than three or four cases. We now have three outbreaks, each of which has led to more than 20 subsequent cases. And so when you have one event that leads to 20 cases, it just overwhelms the system. Because now those 20 people each have five or six contacts of their own, and it really starts to spread. So, for example, there was a Halloween party in Reedsport. Now, Reedsport had very little disease through October. Onesie, twosie cases, but really nothing more. There was then this party on Halloween, and from that, there were 28 cases associated and an additional 14 cases in the community. So now, this community that had very little disease now has 42 cases and multiple hospitalizations and a death.
Wow. What can you tell us about maybe other types of gatherings that are contributing?
So the other kinds of gatherings have been church gatherings. We've had several church gatherings that have resulted in a tremendous number of cases. And then we have a number of cases in nursing homes that have led to a tremendous number of cases. So I think everybody knows that Curry Manor's had an outbreak. There's now over 30 cases, multiple hospitalizations, and a death.
From the church meetings as contributors, even with the lower occupancy rules and things like that, you've got people that come from, in many cases, many parts of the county, and then go back out to many parts of the county. And even if they're socially distant and all of that, still can, obviously, if you're seeing number of cases, impact a lot of people.
They do, and they can really impact quite a number of people along the way. And because, again, with churches, people may come from great distances to go to church, it now spreads through multiple communities. And some of the churches have been incredibly good about enforcing distancing and mask wearing. Other church gatherings, a bit less so.
And do you correlate where the cases are coming from to events where they are not following social distancing, masks, et cetera?
Yes. So, in fact, we think that in each of the times we've had outbreaks, there have been tremendous lapses in the use of distancing and mask wearing. So, you know, people say, well, I don't even know where I got it from. I was following all the rules. That certainly could occur, but again, the great majority of cases that we can identify, they're associated with gatherings where people did not follow the recommendation.
Let's talk about Thanksgiving. A lot of people have that on their mind this week. We touched on it last week as well. And it's probably the one that's seen the greatest amount of pushback from folks that are frustrated with dealing with the past several months.
Yes. So there's a lot of pandemic fatigue out here. And I think a lot of that pandemic fatigue is going to get played out over Thanksgiving. So Thanksgiving is a time we typically get together with relatives who we see only a few times a year. They may come from great distances, and then we sit around, eat, drink, and make merry for hours at a time. A real setup for just a tremendous setup for causing more cases. And so we are very worried about Thanksgiving. You know, back in 1918, there were three big waves. The first wave in the summertime, the second wave in October, which was starting to go down around Thanksgiving. They then had Thanksgiving, and then there was another huge wave that was around Christmas in January of this year. This one is increasingly worrisome because we're not seeing a downward trend now. We're seeing an upward trend, and Thanksgiving is coming. The other problem with this disease is that, unlike the flu, where you're contagious maybe a few hours before you have symptoms, this disease you can be actually most contagious a few days before you have symptoms. And so you don't even know you're sick, and you go to Thanksgiving, and a couple of days later you get sick, and now you've exposed all those people. So we're incredibly worried about Thanksgiving.
Well, and especially following the 1918 example, and it's amazing, though I haven't had a lot of time to look into it, the correlations between a lot of things 102 years ago and now in terms of these types of events, also masks, which is odd to think about from back in that time frame, even closures and limitations on things, and the pushback from some who didn't like the ideas.
It's remarkably similar. So it's remarkably similar in the pushback on masks, pushback on closures. But I think the data from 1918 suggests that places that did take it seriously had a much less bad time than the places that didn't take it seriously. So, for example, in Philadelphia, there was a big parade for the end of the war. And that big parade at the end of the war drew a lot of people together. And a few weeks later, they had a tremendous surge in flu. And some of the stories of that are just truly, truly horrifying. So that whole households would be dead except for one or two children who would be wandering around in these households with the dead people there. Now, I don't think we will see that here because modern communications, other kind of things will prevent that from happening. But the possibility of having a huge increase in cases is quite worrisome.
And, of course, in Oregon, what we're hearing is one household or a second household with a total of six people together. And for a lot of folks, that makes it a real trick to decide just which relative comes and which one you contact on Zoom or something.
So I am suggesting, and the CDC is also suggesting, that you have Thanksgiving with your household only. So you've exposed your household already, so having Thanksgiving with them is okay. But mixing of households is a time where you spread disease. And so the mixing of households is a concern. As we talked about before with church services tend to mix maybe 20, 30, 40, 50, or even more households. And that's why they have had so much spread there.
And with Thanksgiving, you know, I've been trying to watch for creative ideas that come along. I just saw something last hour where, and this is not an Oregon situation, but where grandparents actually got cardboard cutouts made and had them sent to the family that they won't be spending Thanksgiving with, just to sort of entertain the grandkids, for example.
Well, that I think is really quite inventive. And I think people do come up with inventive things. Although what we saw for Halloween was, it wasn't the trick-or-treating that caused the problems. It was parties among adults. And so it really is people getting together in an enclosed room without proper distancing, without the use of masks.
Now, let's talk about, for Douglas County, a huge number in isolation and quarantine. How is the Douglas Public Health Network keeping up with this right now?
Well, we are pretty much keeping up with it. We're working, you know, days and nights doing these case interviews. I think I did a bunch last night after 8. And so we're doing them. The problem, unfortunately, is that with so many, we can't do quite the in-depth. And because there's so much disease around, it's really hard for people to know where they got this disease. Back when we had very few cases, most of the times we could track down where they got it from. Now with cases everywhere, it's much, much harder.
And contrast the isolation and quarantine numbers here with what they are in the Portland area, for example, because when I look at our local figures that say we now have over 700 people that are in either isolation or quarantine with the number of cases we have, then I wonder what it's like in places like Portland in the metro area.
Oh, it's many times that. So that there are a lot of places that have, you know, hundreds in isolation and thousands in quarantine. And that really is a big impact on the state. So I was just on the phone this morning with somebody in a business in Reedsport, and they have two workers who are in quarantine. And this business does a lot of business around Thanksgiving. And so they're really, really struggling. But the other thing we're seeing is in schools, there are not a lot of transmission in schools, but we see a lot of either teachers or students whose family has the disease. They bring it to school, and then all of those kids need to quarantine.
Going to take a break at Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1247 and News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249 at News Radio, 1240 KQEN. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us going through the COVID-19 situation. What about the state numbers? We had 3 or 4 days in a row where each day we set a new record. OHA with data yet to come this afternoon, so we'll see how things stand. But number of cases in some of Oregon's bigger counties really seem like they're going off the charts.
Yeah, well, I think there are some, you know, as much as we think we're doing badly here, there are a bunch of other counties that are doing far, far worse with so many more cases than we've had. And so it really is a worrisome time. Now, the good news is, and there is really great news out here, it appears that there's 2 or 3 vaccines out there that are going to be great. And if we can keep the amount of disease and the amount of death down until the springtime, when we can start giving people these vaccines, we're going to be able to build up enough immunity fairly quickly so that these outbreaks should be able to slow. And then when we get finally enough people immunized to actually stop them. And so I'm just pleading with people to go ahead and continue the good work that we've done so far so that we can go ahead and keep these cases down.
What about the national picture and hot spots and places around the country that are particularly bad?
Well, the whole center of the country is really terrible. And so when you look at Minnesota, Wisconsin, North Dakota, South Dakota, they're really, 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 really struggling. So for people who have been watching, know that I've compared Douglas County with 3 other counties in the country: Lyons County in Georgia, which is where Valdosta is, Pennington County in South Dakota, which is where Rapid City is, and Twin Falls County in Idaho, where Twin Falls is. All similar-sized counties, all rural, on an interstate, mix of agriculture, tourism, and farming. And so they're really quite similar to us. Well, we're struggling at 15 to 20 cases a day. On average, they're averaging over 100 cases a day. And while we think the number of deaths we've had is totally unacceptable, they have 5 or 10 times as many deaths as we've had. And so there are a lot of places in the country that are struggling even more than we are.
Anything different about behavior or anything that you can relate in those other areas that is causing this to be worse there?
Well, I think they've taken a much less strict approach. They have not done much. They've done not much closures. They have no mask mandates. And so they really have done less than we've done. And I know people chafe at the restaurant closures. I know people chafe at the fact that church gatherings are smaller. But I really think we can show that they've made a difference. There was a graph earlier this week that looked at the number of deaths and the amount of restrictions. And on that scatter plot, Oregon has done one of the best. We've had relatively fewer restrictions than other areas, more than some, and we've had a lot less deaths. So we've really done quite well in this.
What about the world?
It's still terrible.
What about the world picture right now?
Well, the world picture is interesting because this pandemic is very strong in the U.S. and Russia, still incredibly quiet in Japan, South Korea, Australia, New Zealand, Taiwan, Hong Kong. Between them, they have fewer cases than Oregon does in a day. So all those areas, hundreds of millions of people, have fewer cases than does Oregon in a day. In China, although it's hard to always believe the Chinese data, in China, they're having very, very few cases, less than 1,000 cases a day for a country of 1.5 billion people. India is a worry. India is having a lot of cases. They're not counting it well because they've kind of run out of testing. Russia is having a big increase in the number of cases, and the U.S. has been increasing cases. Canada is having a smaller increase. Scandinavia, a smaller increase. When we look at Central Europe, like Germany and France, they had a big increase in September and October, but they've kind of tamed it. Israel had a big increase in September. They did another lockdown, and they're down. So the only countries where we're seeing really rapid increase is the U.S. and Russia.
Schools, in many cases, are back to distance learning. Roseburg began that today for K-3. What about on kind of the flip side of this, the mental health impact on kids? What are you seeing? What's the mental health picture right now?
Well, the mental health picture on everyone is terrible. We especially worry, though, about we really worry about high schoolers. I mean, high schoolers are such social creatures, and for them not to be around their friends, for them not to do some of the incredible things that kids do in their senior year in high school is really heartbreaking. The problem, unfortunately, is that the number of cases now is so high that starting schools is really not smart at this point. What we need to do is to bring down the cases so that now we can go ahead and open schools again. That really should be our number one goal.
You mentioned the vaccines a bit ago, up to three now. What can you tell folks about maybe the differences in the three?
So it's pretty complicated, but there are the two that are probably leading are the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines. Both are messenger RNA vaccines, which is a relatively new kind of vaccine. They both seem to have really, really good efficacy, over 90%. And they also seem to have no safety signals. So, you know, we always worry about sort of funny things that happen when you give people vaccines. And so with the AstraZeneca vaccine and the Johnson & Johnson, there have been a little bit of worries. There have been no worries from the Moderna vaccine. So I think I am really, really, really excited by the Moderna vaccine.
Obviously, there's a timeline that even on a best case fast track scenario, it's going to be months so before very many people are able to get these, right?
Right. So it's going to be a while. So we have to both get these. We have to both get these vaccines and then distribute them. And both the Moderna vaccine and the Pfizer vaccine require really, really cold temperatures for storage, so it's going to make it hard. We think we may well get a few thousand doses of vaccine in December. If we did, we would want to give those to the highest risk people, would be those people working in nursing homes, those people working in healthcare, and seniors living in nursing homes. Remember, you have to get two doses, so then we'll have to give second dose to all of those people, and then we would expand it to other essential workers and then other people at risk. But the goal is that if we try hard, I think we can really get this. I think we can get this really under control. We can get this really under control pretty quickly.
And wrapping up here, final encouragement for people regarding Thanksgiving once again.
Be patient. We all want people to celebrate Thanksgiving. Be patient for 6 months, and I think we'll have an incredible celebration, both of Thanksgiving and the end of COVID.
All right, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.